If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Most of you look like you're awake this morning. I think that's a good thing. I think. You never know, guys. Most of the time it's easy to tell if you're awake or you're not. The girls, you never know. Because you know when they paint the barn? Hey, if the barn needs painting, paint it. It's okay. But have you ever seen those people that close their eyes and they paint eyeballs right here? I'm always skeptical, ladies. I really am. All right, Proverbs 28. Let's all stand together and we will read verse number 13. Proverbs 28, verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have, what's the next word?
Mercy.
My Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you for the privilege again that we have to open the Word of God. Now, Lord, I ask that you'd meet with us. I have no power in myself to convey the truths of Scripture, but I claim the power of the Word of God from Isaiah 55 that you will accomplish that which you sent. So, Lord, and know this is where you'd have us go. And I pray that I would not be a hindrance. I ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. May these young people, my friends, may they not remember me, but the God that I serve and the truths of the Bible. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. He that covereth his sins. Have you ever tried to hide something? In our home, probably for the last year, we have come up with a game. I think my four-year-old at the time created it. And someone had given her these little felt envelopes. I think they were for Valentine's Day or something like that. And that's all they are. They're about this big, and they're just a little felt envelope. And here's what she has tried to do. She has tried to hide them in our house. She's tried to hide them, and here's her philosophy, all right? She said, I will hide it. So when you find it, you will remember that I love you. I thought, well, that's pretty cute. That's pretty sweet. Okay, we'll do it. She starts hiding them. You know what? She cannot hide. She hides them on top of my desk. She hides them in my shoe. And I don't have to put my shoe on and go, oh, there's something in there. I can see it right there. She hides things, and I think, listen, if I'm going to hide something, I'm going to find, you know, like a false drawer or a false bottom in something. I'm going to find one of those books that looks like a book, and you open it up, and it's really just a safe, you know. I'm going to hide it in somewhere cool like that. I'm maybe going to get, have you seen, this is really cool, have you seen those outlet covers? Have you ever been in an airport before where somebody has an outlet cover sticker? And they stick it on the wall, and you go to plug something in, and you realize it's just a sticker on the wall. I know some of you are those kind of people. But I have found some of those outlets that they're not really an outlet, but if you put a magnet on it, it opens up the outlet and it has like a safe inside. I'm like, okay, that's where you hide something. Not out in the open. Why would you hide something? That's not even called hiding. That's called placing or putting something somewhere. That's not called hiding. Hiding means you can't find it. My girls, especially my two-year-old, they like hide and seek. This is how my two-year-old hides. Are you ready? Let's say that this mic stand is on your side and she hides right here. You can't find me. I'm hiding behind the mics. I can see you. Why do you think that you can hide? You know, that's kind of the picture that I get when I come to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. And the Bible will begin by saying, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I struggled with this for a long time. You see, my parents, at least the first verse that I can remember memorizing, was this verse.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil
and the good. I'm sure they taught me other verses, but that's the only one I remember from my first memory verses, all right? Why would you teach a kid a verse like that? I think my parents were trying to terrify me, all right? You may not know who's watching, but God is always watching. That would scare me. And so I would read this verse here much later, and I would read how God says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper," and it would bother me. Because I would think this, how do you cover your sin from God? Are you with me? If God can see everything, then why would God say, if you cover your sins, you won't succeed? In other words, we try to cover our sins, but you cannot cover your sin from a holy God. Are you with me? All right, we sure try, don't we? We think, hey, I can get away with that. Hey, no big deal. Nobody sees what other people don't see or what other people don't know about. It won't hurt them and it won't hurt me. So we try to cover our sin or hide our sin. But when you go to the Bible, sin is a serious thing. You go back to the garden. We heard about that last night. In the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, could Adam and Eve hide their sin from a holy God? No. Did they try? Yes. Were they successful? Absolutely not. But we have in our minds, just like my five-year-old, we can hide our sin. It won't come up before a holy God. It's not a big deal. I can get away with it. Now, listen, I learned a long time ago that I don't have to point out other people's sins. God, He's a whole lot better at doing that than me. So, when we look at the Bible, and He says, "He that covereth his sins," here's a very simple question, but probably a very deep question. What sin have we tried to cover from God? In other words, the sin, when we hear Bible preaching, and we feel the Lord, we sense the Lord. How about this? We're convicted by the Holy Spirit right here where God says, that's not right. That doesn't please me. You need to deal with it. And so what do we do? Here's what we do. When we hear many times, when we hear preaching on sin, and when either our sin is named or God names our sin, here's what we do. Oops! You know what? That doesn't help you. And that doesn't help anybody else. I hear this a lot, and I know what people mean. And you have probably heard it too. Have you heard this?
Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? They fell into sin.
Have you heard that? I really struggle with that. Because here's at least my perception of the word fall. Are you with me? You're walking down the road, and all of a sudden, somebody left the manhole cover off and you fell in. You say, what happened? Oh, they fell. Or you're walking down the road and you trip on your feet and bam, you hit your face and you say, oh, they fell. In other words, it was an accident. Hey, listen very carefully. Sin is not an accident. It's a choice to violate the commands of God. Sin is a choice to do what I want rather than what God has already said. It is a choice. You say, listen, I didn't mean to, but we still chose to. So what do? Well, you go to the Bible and He says, hey, listen, if you cover your sin, if you sugarcoat your sin, if you gloss over your sin, that's not going to help you. Recently, we were preaching in Pennsylvania for a week. And I took my daughter out on a date. We have both my daughters. We have daddy-daughter dates. And I took her to a donut shop. The donut shop, we got there about 8:30, and they only had a couple more donuts left. Must have been a popular place. But I looked back into the back where they made the donuts, and honestly, over everything, you could see this coating of sugar all over everything. Sugar, you know, the glaze that they put on the donuts that all of us think, oh, wouldn't that be great to just, you know, eat by the spoonful? Only for maybe one spoonful and then you're done. And it's all over everything. And oftentimes I think that's how we treat our sin. We say it's no big deal. Let's put something over top of it that kind of makes it easier to handle, easier to think about, easier to stomach, and, you know, maybe God will stomach it too. What? A glaze without a donut is worthless. And young person, it doesn't matter how good you live, it doesn't remove the fact that we all deal with something called sin. We still have this sinful nature, so we need to deal with it God's way, not our way. You cover your sin, he says, you shall not prosper. For a long time, I would think that the word prosper would mean, okay, if I don't deal with my sin, I cannot be successful. So if I want to be successful in life, I'll deal with my sin. That's not what the Bible word prosper here means. What the Bible word prosper means, you cannot go any farther forward if you don't deal with sin. So it's not I can't be successful, it's, are you ready? I'm stuck. Young person, when you and I have chosen to depend on Jesus, one decision, one time, for one person, in one place called heaven, when we make that decision, our sin is forgiven, we're covered by the blood of Jesus, we're on our way to heaven. You cannot lose heaven once you have Jesus. You can't. And you cannot lose Jesus no matter how hard you try. But when you and I choose to sin against the Holy God, once we're on our way to heaven, it severs what the Bible will call fellowship. In other words, John 15, I can't have joy no matter the circumstances. I cannot have peace. I cannot have fruit. In other words, I cannot live the way God told me to live. I cannot have answered prayer. I cannot learn what God wants me to do and then me choose to do it. I cannot until I deal with sin. Even King David himself would say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John will tell us that all of us deal with sin, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, all of us deal with sin. All of us have tried to cover sin, or at least gloss over. But wait a minute. If God sees everything, can you really cover your sin from a holy God? Absolutely not. God sees and God knows, and you think you can get away with it. But when you and I choose to sin, we have no fellowship, no peace, no joy. And listen, that's not the way God designed the Christian life. So here's what we do. We say, all right, well, maybe I need to deal with some sin. No, deal with all sin. 1 John will tell us again, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now listen, if you talk to the wrong people that have taken the Bible out of context, you will find that some people will say, you can be so right with God that you never sin. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible does say is you can be right with God, and you can be just as right with God as Jesus is with God. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You say, how long does that last? Well, that sin is covered, but then when we choose to sin again, now we've severed the fellowship. So what do? We hear preaching like this that says, hey, listen, young person, get right with God. What does that mean? How about this? Confess your sin. Get it covered. Here's the deal. Either you can cover your sin, or you can let Jesus cover your sin. One or the other. If you cover your sin, the Bible says you cannot go any further. You cannot serve Jesus. You cannot obey Jesus because there's something standing between you and a holy God. So what do you need? You need to let uncover your sin so that Jesus can cover your sin with his blood. By the way, the blood of Jesus is just as powerful as it was at the cross. And the blood of Jesus is just as powerful now to forgive you so you can walk with the Holy God as it was to forgive you of sin so you could have a home in heaven. The power of Jesus did not stop when you trusted Jesus. It started. Now he says in the book of Proverbs, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." But then it says this, "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You want mercy? I'm thankful for mercy. In the book of Romans chapter 11, the whole chapter talks about God's mercy. In that book, it tells us how that there were murderers that God forgave. There were people that were stumbling blocks to others, and God had mercy and forgave. I read about people all throughout the Bible that were given mercy. In other words, they deserved some severe punishment. And God said, no, forgiven. I read about a lady named Rahab, a wicked lady who Jesus forgave. I read about three murderers in the Bible that you would probably consider some of the greatest Bible characters that were forgiven. Moses, David, can you name another? Paul. And I read about those men and I think, wow, that's mercy. You know, I dare say, I don't know this, maybe I'm wrong, but I dare say we don't have murderers in here this morning. You'd probably be in the prison somewhere. But you know what? Your sin is just as severe as murder. God doesn't have a scale of one great sin versus one small sin. He doesn't have white lie versus big lie. No. God says all sin has come before His face. And you remember how He turned His back on His only Son, Jesus, at the cross. Why? Because Jesus took on us the sin, took on Him the sin of the entire world. So you say, what's the point? God can't look at sin. He can't even look at His Son because His Son took our sin. You say, okay, so I need cleansing. Yes, but you can only get cleansing when you confess. You say, okay, sorry, that's not confession. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
All right, what does the word confess mean? All right, here it is, very simply.
To say the same thing about sin that God says about sin. God says it's wicked. God said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 1 John, you meet somebody that says, oh no, I'm not that bad. You meet somebody that says, oh no, I don't have that big a sin. We watch out because they've deceived themselves. God says we're all sinners. We all have sinned. So we need to uncover our sin, not to the world. You don't need to post it on social media, to God. In other words, God, You called this sin, and I have gone against what You said. I have chosen self. I've chosen sin. This is wrong. You died on the cross for this. I'm agreeing with You that this is wicked. And when you agree with God that your sin is wicked, no matter how big or how small you think your sin is, get this. The blood of Jesus Christ is big enough to cover it. Are you kidding? Get this. I meet teenagers all the time that tell me this, Brother Glenn, you don't know what I've done. No, I have no idea. And here it is. I don't need to know. Jesus already knows, and Jesus' blood is already bigger than your sin. There's no sin too big that He cannot forgive. So maybe last night you're listening to how you treat your parents and you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can do it. Didn't you hear last night? You can't do it. So confess it and let Jesus take over and walk with Jesus. Many times I'm preaching to young people all throughout the year, and I'll be in a church, or I'll be in a Christian school, or I'll be in a school here or there, and young people will come to me. And they'll want me to sign their Bibles. Now, after I give this illustration, none of you are going to want me to sign your Bibles, all right? But just stick with me, okay? They want me to sign their Bibles. So they bring me the Bibles up, and I'm signing their Bibles. Well, used to, I'd just sign it, hand it back, say, amen, you know, all that kind of thing. See you later, have a great day. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. This is a great opportunity. Young people come up to me, and they hand me their Bible. You sign it, Brother Glenn? Sure, I'll sign it. And while I'm signing it, I'll ask them this. I'll say, hey, what has God talked to you about in the services this week? You talk about all of a sudden some very pale young people or very red young people. And here's oftentimes what I'm told. Oh, Brother Glenn, God talked to me about loving Him more. Shouldn't we all love Jesus more? Yeah. How about this? Oh, Brother Glenn, God talked to me about reading my Bible more. Can I be very kind? That's a cop-out for not dealing with sin. You say, I don't get it. All of us need to read our Bible more. All of us need to love God more, sure. But let's deal with the sin. Hey, listen. When you deal with the sin, God's way, God has mercy. You say, I don't get it. I've been in schools before where I'll ask young people, what's God been dealing with you about? And finally, they begin to open up. Sometimes I have to be very specific in my questions. Hey, what class did you cheat in? Oh, Brother Glenn, it was just one time. But that's sin. Okay, Brother Glenn, well, what do I do? Confess it before God. And God forgives. But then you go back to Proverbs chapter 28, and He says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We try to cover from God, but what about those people that we have done wrong against? I'm not saying tell your friends your sin. I'm saying if you've sinned against mom and dad, it's time to, mom and dad, I've done wrong. I've confessed it before God. Now I need to be right with you. How about this? You cheated in a class at school. Maybe it's time to go back to the teacher and said, listen, I've confessed it before God. God's worked in my heart. Now I need to, I've done wrong. You say, is it worth it? Yeah. Young person, I went to Bible college several years ago. When I was in Bible college, we had a class called Greek. You talk about hard. At least for me. I don't even speak English. I don't even speak American. I speak something called Southern, okay? Southeastern. Greek was Greek. And I struggled. I barely passed the class, and I worked hard. But there was one class. One time period in class where we took a test. And on that test, I'll be honest, I wasn't trying to cheat. But I saw my friend's answer. So I just wrote it down. As soon as I turned my paper in and walked out of the classroom, God smote my heart. And I knew that was sin. You know what I did? Right there. I confessed it. I called it what God called it. And guess what? God forgave me. But then I just went on. I didn't do anything else about it. I figured, okay, no big deal. What the teacher doesn't know won't hurt them. Okay, so I sinned. I confessed it. God forgave. Several years later, I'm preaching in revival meetings. And as I'm preaching, God was working. Don't get me wrong. God was working. We were seeing scores of people saved. We were seeing people's lives changed, but when I would stand behind the pulpit and open my Bible, I just sensed that there was something missing, like there was something in me that wasn't 100% right, and I was hindering what God was wanting to do. And I remember where I was, and I remember getting out alone with God, and I remember praying, and I remember talking to God. And you know what? God reminded me of that right there. I'm cheating on that test. I had been out of Bible college at that time for almost 7 years. But I was so desperate to be right with God that I figured, you know what? I may have barely passed that class. If I get this right with the person I sinned against, I may not really have graduated college. I had to pass that class to even get a diploma. But I figured it wasn't worth it to hold on to sin. And so I picked up the phone, and this would have been too close to 10 years after I'd taken that class. And I called my professor and I said, "Hey, you don't know, but this happened." I said, "It only happened one time, one class, one time period, one test, one answer. But it was wrong. I confessed it to God, and in God's mercy, He forgave me. But I need to preach with God's power." I said, "I don't care what you have to do. If you have to take away my diploma, I just need God." And I'll never forget, my professor told me this. He said, "Brother Glenn, I forgive you. Now go preach with power." And that night I stood behind the pulpit and I preached, and God did such a work as I had never seen. I remember preaching in Illinois to a group of young people in a Christian school, how they could be set free from sin. How all they had to do was call it what God called it. God would forgive. Confess it to those that deserve to know. I had two teen girls come up to me after this. Said, Brother Glenn, God spoke to our heart. What we've been doing behind our parents' back, I just don't know if they're even going to have mercy on us. I said, "Well, why don't you trust God?" That afternoon, they went out after school and they went running. They went running together, and as they got to the end of their run, they both looked at each other and they said, "We can't get away from this. We're going to have to take care of this with Mom and Dad. We've been sneaking around. We've been sneaking out. This is wrong. I don't know if our parents are going to kill us or what, but you know what? We're going to get right with them." Both of them went home. Both of them talked to their parents. And I remember both ladies coming back to me the next morning at chapel, and they said, "Brother Clint, we went to our parents. We knew they were going to kill us. And you know what happened?" They said, "We forgive you." I said, "Brother Clint, we've never experienced such peace. We're not hiding it anymore." And this would go on and on and on as we would see close to 25 young people who just chose to uncover it instead of trying to cover it to God and uncover it from those who deserve to know. Hey, listen, it is a big deal. You say, "It's just a little sin." Yes, and Jesus hung on the cross for that. It's a big deal. Why don't you call it what God calls it? And notice what God says. "And you shall have" what? "Mercy." Hey, mercy from God is one of the most amazing things. Forgiven, done, under the blood. And then how about this? Many times Christian young people, when they hear preaching on sin and they confess the sin and they get cleansing and God works in their heart, they say, "Wow, this is wonderful." Wait a minute. It is wonderful. But don't stop there. Even David in Psalm 139, he will say this. He will say, "Lord, I've searched me. Now you search me and you point out any sin that I've missed. You search me, you try me, you show me. I'll get it right. I'll confess it." Young person, don't just confess the sin. Unload the whole truck. You say, "Listen, if I unloaded the whole trunk, that's a dump truck full of sin. Jesus is big enough to forgive that." Don't stop at one. How about this? Ask the Lord, "What else?" How about this? "Oh, okay, Lord, I'll confess that. What else, Lord? Oh, I'd forgotten all about that. Take care of that." Okay. You say, listen, is it worth it? Let me ask you something. Do you think it'd be worth it to be right with the Holy God? To have what John 15 offers, real fruit, real joy, real peace, real answered prayer? Listen, sometimes you as young people, and I've been there in your seat, I hear preachers get up and I think, good night, they have answers to prayer like that? I don't get that. Well, maybe it's because we're not praying. Maybe it's because we're not praying God's way, but I would dare say mainly it's because we're not praying and being heard because there's sin. Young person, I don't need to name your sin. Holy Spirit's probably already done that. Are you clean? Are you covered? You can cover it or let Jesus cover it and be right with the Holy God.